Whether you operate one forklift or thousands, one location or hundreds, the new My Toyota customer portal can help you optimize your operation and material handling equipment. This one-stop, free-to-use platform is designed to help you take control of your information and make smarter decisions, all at the touch of a button. Register and access your data today at my.toyotaforklift.com. That's my.toyotaforklift.com.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast, bringing you a new episode today. And on today's episode, we're going to have a guest join us back here. It's Aaron Hodes, and he is your supply chain sidekick, actually. So happy to bring him on the show here again, talk to him, catch up with him a little bit, hear about kind of some of his takeaways from the 3PL world that he was heavily involved with in his last role, and get some just overall knowledge and insights from his experiences and what he recommends, not only from the 3PL side, but also from the brand perspective, and just catch up with the man himself. So, Aaron, how you doing?
Kevin, I'm doing much better than I deserve. Thanks for having me on again. Always a pleasure to be talking with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And definitely happy to catch up with you here after these new adventures you're taking on. Very great to see what you're putting out there into the world. It's always been great to see your LinkedIn post pretty much on a daily basis, but now seeing like the newsletter and everything taking off, which we'll talk a little bit about, has been fantastic too. So why don't we kind of first talk a little bit about, because you spent 6 years at a company, and I don't know if you want to mention them, don't want to mention them, but you know, you were working closely with brands and 3PLs, and really, you know, that's a lot of the content that you've been putting out there is talking about, you know, looking for the right 3PL, how to position yourself properly to do that, what 3PL should do correctly. But tell us kind of some of your biggest takeaways from that 6 years of experience, and you know, what's some of the real big things that you think people should always look out for, or always know?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I was really fortunate to be one of the first account executives at ShipBob. You know, they're a venture capital backed, you know, 3PL for those who aren't familiar. And I had the great fortune of working with some of, you know, the world's largest e-commerce brands and, you know, working alongside them, you know, really in the trenches. I found that every single brand, there are no two brands that are alike. And while there are similar challenges that they may be trying to solve for, the one big takeaway is that there's not a one-size-fit-all 3PL for any e-commerce brand. And it's really, you know, I talked about this in one of my newsletters, but really, I think before brands go and try to find their 3PL, they really need to understand and get their own house in order.
Yeah.
And really understand from their perspective, what are they trying to achieve by working with a 3PL? And more importantly, what do they want out of a 3PL? Because, you know, ShipBob is a fit for, it was a fit for a lot of brands, but also they weren't a fit for everyone. And that's often what I would tell people, you know, on the front end of calls. But just an awesome time working, you know, there for 6 years, learned a lot, made some really great relationships and still really close friends with a lot of people there. And yeah, took away a lot of great insights about what e-commerce brands actually care about when working with their 3PL, and really, you know, what grinds their gears the most. Maybe we can get into that, you know, a little bit later.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's great to hear that. And I love that you said too, that, you know, the brand needs to kind of get their house in order in a sense, right? To mm-hmm. be able to probably, I guess, properly and maybe have a good shot at having a good experience with a 3PL. So maybe talk to us a little bit about what you mean by that, and kind of what kind of steps do mm-hmm. brands should they take when they're going to start looking for that 3PL, or realize like, hey, they want help with fulfillment.
Right. I think when they realize if you're an e-commerce brand owner, if there's a point in time and every brand reaches this inflection point at some point in their journey, some sooner, some later, but they realize that doing fulfillment is not a revenue generating activity. Mm. It's a cost on the P&L, right? Whether they like it or not. And whether or not they want to do that in-house or outsource it, there's no right or wrong way. It's really about what is best for that specific brand, and more importantly, in that specific time in the history of their brand. And so really understanding, I think, from their perspective, a lot of brands go into, I think, I don't like doing pick, pack, ship. Let me outsource it. I think that's really the low hanging fruit. And let me go try to find the lowest cost provider to do this. And I often think that's a fool's errand because, you pay for what you get. It's often, what I said. And so you really want to understand, your SKU catalog. Are you shipping? First of all, what are you selling? What vertical, what category are you selling products into? Are you selling heavy items? Are you selling lightweight items? When you're doing the pick and pack, what kind of, unboxing experience are you looking for, right? Do you have something that needs to be neatly wrapped in tissue paper with two stamps on it, with a kiss on top? Or can it be just something that, is placed into, a brown corrugated box or a poly mailer and shipped out? I think a lot of those have to be considered and, as many as just some of the factors that you're looking for when you're going to choose, a 3PL partner. And those are the objective metrics. But then also I talked about a lot in my newsletter is the subjective metrics, that come when you're choosing a 3PL provider. What values and what mission is your brand trying to cultivate, and what are you trying to put out into the universe, and how does your 3PL fit into your, vision and just your cultural vibe, right? What is the ethos of the 3PL that you're trying to go to? I think those are all really important factors that oftentimes get overlooked when, you're going to a 3PL provider. When I worked with a lot of the bigger brands, they would have X consultants, XEY, XBCG people come in and try to, super valuable. Don't get me wrong. I think they looked at a 3PL relationship in a very transactional manner at no fault of their own, but there's so much more that goes into a 3PL relationship. And I think that's why, in general, the feeling around that people just don't like their 3PLs. It's a very low rated, what I'm saying? People just in general have a connotation of negativity, or they hold some negative feeling towards the 3PL, regardless of who they're with, usually. And that started well before my time.
Definitely.
And I think that hopefully with my, with what I'm putting out there, and there's a lot of great 3PLs out there that, including ShipBob, they're great, that you just really have to find what's best for your brand.
Yeah.
And it really takes a lot of introspection before you go out and try to put 8 different 3PLs on an Excel sheet and try to line them up. Cause I think that's one way to do it. I would argue that it's probably not the best way.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, like you said, and I've certainly heard it in the industry too, the 3PLs, they get a bad rep sometimes. And unfortunately it's because, there's bad experiences that happen out there. Right. And,
yes.
And like you said, the brand is kind of it's almost skeptical. It's almost if you were going to go, date somebody and you didn't give them the chance and trust them right off the bat. It's you just start off no, I don't trust you. Right. It's well, why are we even going into this partnership? Right. So, I think it's really interesting on that side. And I'm curious, in your experience there, as you've worked with all these different brands and, you talk about kind of getting that house in order and how they can kind of prepare themselves to be able to be ready to work with a 3PL and get the most of that partnership. I mean, was there ever a time where maybe were some challenges where, the brand kind of didn't necessarily do what they needed to do to be in that position, and you kind of just wish that I wish I could have just jumped in there and just told you do this or helped you figure this out before you took that step?
Yeah. Oh yes. I think there's many, but there's two big areas that I would say. Number one is operational alignment, and kind of what we touched on earlier, but making sure that you understand all the different packouts that you're specifically doing currently. And more importantly, what are your expectations moving forward with the 3PL? And you want to get into really nuanced conversations with every 3PL provider that you do, and not just taking like from the 3PL, yes, we can do that at face value. You have to dig and peel back this onion multiple layers to figure out how they've been able to do X, Y, Z for past clients and how have they been successful. I will also say that if there's something that I wish brands did more of, and I don't think this is like the fault of any one brand, but maybe it's like an opportunity for someone to come out. I mean, there is software that exists, but I don't know if brands are taking advantage of it, is doing some sort of demand planning and actually giving that to their 3PL provider.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a there's disconnection between marketing teams and operations teams, and therefore the 3PL provider. Marketing team says, we're running this great promo for this new product launch. They launch it. They talk about all the sales that are going to come with it, but they don't communicate. That doesn't get communicated down.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't go through the game of telephone to the 3PL provider. Next thing you know, the 3PL provider who's planned out labor for consistent, let's just say, you know, 1,000 orders a month, they get hit with 1,000 orders a day. I don't think that's fair to the 3PL provider, quite frankly.
Right.
And it really doesn't set anyone up for success. And so what I would say is if you're in, you know, there's one thing I would really hone in on is when you're in the vetting process, giving order volumes, historical annual monthly order volumes, then annual order volumes to your 3PL provider. Talk about any seasonality that comes with it. You know, typically brands see seasonality during a peak season like most. But if you're, you know, if you're like a swimwear brand, you might see more seasonality during Q2 and Q3, right? Like these are the types of ebbs and flows that you really want to discuss with your partner, because the 3PL space has historically been really reactive.
Yeah.
And one of my goals with doing, you know, the supply chain sidekick is bring more productiveness to a very reactive industry. And so while I don't have all the answers, I think it really the foundation of that is communication between the brand and the 3PL partner. And if you can communicate what your sales order volumes are going to be week over week, even if you're, you know, projecting it, maybe you hit 70%, the 3PL will build in whatever buffer in terms of labor planning that they can do. But if you go in blind and you just do this huge promo and the 3PL is not expecting it, you're going to be upset. More importantly, the end customers are going to be upset. And that's really the North Star, right? For everyone, brand and 3PL, is how do we make the customers happy? And I think that if you keep that like as your vision looking into the future, it usually you're able to solve most problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so huge too, to be able to have that line of communication. And I think, you know, a lot of brands definitely miss that. I mean, I worked for a very large brand, you know, worth multiple billions of dollars. And I was on site with the 3PL kind of as a audit checks and balances type of person there. And yeah, I couldn't believe it. One day, the guy from the 3PL, he's like, yeah, we only know that you guys are going to have a sale because we signed up for your email marketing. And I'm like, wait, so you don't know? And he's like, oh yeah, we check in the morning. If you guys send something out there, there's going to be a sale. And then we shift a bunch of employees over. And I'm like, well, like there has to be a better way to do this. So, I mean, it's certainly a thing that I think can be super beneficial because, I mean, if you look from a operations perspective, right? I mean, it's easier to, it's easier to, I guess, cut people and send them home early than it is to get people at the last minute to come in and get extra people, right? To be able to handle that additional volume. So I think that communication is such a big thing. So, I mean, if you look from the 3PL perspective, right? I mean, I think a lot of 3PLs would probably agree with you and say that, like, yeah, we would love that. We would love that level of communication, right? But how do you think a 3PL themselves can potentially better position themselves to be able to kind of address some of these struggles that brands may have or some of the struggles that you've seen that brands have?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it all starts with the process that 3PLs have lined out when they're talking about, you know, customer and client acquisition, right? During their procurement process, what kind of objectives are they looking to solve for? And what information do they need to extract from the brand? And then more importantly, assuming the brand says, okay, great, we're ready to move forward. It's that point where you're doing some sort of really hands-on white glove type of, you know, onboarding. And that's when you really start that intimate, you know, sharing of data, best practices, and really having a 3PL be a lifeline and being that operational, you know, right hand for the brand. And what I often say is, you know, at minimum, when you're starting with a new 3PL, it may even be required to do daily check-ins. Mm. You know, a daily stand-up call, you know, between a new 3PL and their brand, in my opinion, should almost be required until until you reach some sort of like stage of normalcy to then maybe you can go to like a weekly cadence or a bi-weekly cadence. And it's a standing meeting, meaning if you keep it on the calendar, and really what it's there for is to hold everyone accountable. Mm. More than anything is to have people come. And if there are action items that people want to, you know, knock off their list, great. And if there's nothing, that's okay too. You know, logistics is like a no news is it good news type of, you know, industry.
Yeah.
Most of the time. So inevitably what you would want to do then is do quarterly business reviews. And, you know, I got, you know, the chance to be a part of those. Well, I wasn't running those personally in my time at Shipbob. I did, you know, shadow a bunch of them just to hear, you know, the brands that they had the opportunity to bring on and, you know, and close as a sales rep. You know, how are they doing? So, you know, I would shadow many of those calls and obviously having annual business reviews. And I think having not only operational stakeholders involved in those conversations, but other key executives. It's not the 3PL as much as it does live in operations world. Like if you're a you know, a company that's doing, you know, 10, 20, 30 million north and, you know, in revenue, I mean, you probably have, I would say, maybe like a CEO, COO, CFO, like you may or may not want to at least at the very least give them a recording of what that call went, because I've never seen a relationship that impacts their, you know, parts of the business and e-commerce more than the 3PL relationship does. Like it makes or breaks clients sometimes. And that's really why I think it leaves a bad taste in many people's mouths, because, you know, if you choose the wrong 3PL, it is a 5 or potentially 6-figure problem.
Yeah.
And that's a really tough pill to swallow. You ever heard nightmare stories of people trying to exit 3PLs? I mean, it's not fun for anyone, and you have a really expensive problem on your hand that needs to be fixed in short order.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, you know, as you're looking at like e-commerce specifically, I mean, when you're moving lots of volume and, you know, you have any disruption there, like, I mean, that's, you know, every kind of disruption is like potential lost customers, right? And this could be a real slowdown to the business. So I mean, it's a great point there to call out that, you know, you want to make sure that you're getting that knowledge. And I love the idea too of like, you know, first having a robust onboarding process, but then also having those kind of daily stand-up calls. And I've done those in previous projects myself. And I think that it allows kind of both sides of the table to say, like, have that point to say, like, okay, like, I don't think we need these anymore because we're comfortable now, things are running, we're good. But it, like you said, it still has that accountability that, like, okay, like every day we're gonna show up, is everything good today? Yeah, everything's good. Or no, we had a challenge here. And it opens that line of communication more, which I think is a really good tip there from you. So definitely very, very interesting there on the 3PL side as well. So let's talk a little bit about kind of your we teased it here a little bit, but the supply chain sidekick, your new project here. So tell us kind of like about the supply chain sidekick. Where did that come from, and what's really your focus there?
We'll be back after a quick break.
You hear a lot about supply chains these days, because if the past couple years have taught us anything, it's that an efficient, well-managed supply chain is absolutely critical to keeping businesses successful and consumers happy. I'm Will Haywood, and I host a podcast called All Business, No Boundaries, where we talk about supply chains, how they work, what happens when they don't, and the innovations that are redefining what's possible in the world of logistics. Join me for insightful interviews with thought leaders and industry experts. We discuss how optimizing supply chains can break down the barriers that are holding businesses back. That's All Business, No Boundaries by DHL Supply Chain. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it really started, I would say, I started posting on LinkedIn probably 2.5 years ago. And really, my initial idea was, okay, I start posting on LinkedIn, maybe it starts to drive some meaningful opportunities for me at my time at ChipBobbin. You know, it didn't really, for the most part, surprisingly enough. But what it did was it built a really robust network, you know, for me. And what I realized is I was thinking about, you know, making a website and a newsletter for probably at least a year and a half. And, you know, the timing just became right. At the end of 2022, me and my wife had our first kid. So I was pretty busy with that and trying to learn how to be a dad. And so, you know, I somewhat have an idea of what it's like.
You never stop learning.
To get back. Yeah. Hey, very true. But then I got back to a little bit of normalcy. And then, you know, I just said, screw it. You know, it's time to build a website. And so at the, you know, like early December, I just built a website and started a newsletter. And upon leaving, ShipBob at the end of December, I had a lot of people just reach out to me, both brands and 3PL owners, saying, Aaron, I've liked your posts, or I've interacted with your posts, and, you know, I'm a 3PL owner and I'm struggling to find the gaps, or I'm struggling to really understand the gaps in my own sales process. And we're seeing great opportunities come through the top of funnel, but we need some help converting them. And on the opposite side, brands, you know, say, I hate my 3PL, like, try to help me, right? And there are some great services out there that do like matchmaking services. But I think, you know, deep down what someone needs is someone like there with them, like in the battle with them. And this is someone who's a sales rep, right? Like, my job is to solve problems and to solve pain. And so if I can do that, like the outcome of that is helping, you know, someone, right? And having that type of, you know, servant type of mindset, I think has helped me in my career. It's taken a while to get to that, you know, mindset, but I think if I use that, you know, it's been great. And so I've been working, you know, closely with a few 3PL owners and brands now to really help, you know, cultivate, you know, just like really unique strategies and really understanding before saying, can I even help, is understanding what are they currently doing? What is the current state of affairs? And really going into the weeds and, you know, working with them late at night. You know, I'm working, you know, 8, 9, 10 PM sometimes at night with these folks, you know, really getting into it. And it's been fun scratching a little bit of an entrepreneurial itch.
Yeah, it's really good. And I think it's such a good thing to focus on too, like you said, because, you know, they're getting, you know, these leads or these potential clients in, you know, top of funnel, like you said, and then it's about converting them, right? But I think a lot of times, you know, if we look at, you know, I guess you could say the same thing from like a brand perspective, like the brand is coming to the 3PL because, you know, logistics and, you know, fulfillment is not necessarily their expertise. Right. And the same thing for 3PLs in some cases too, you know, they got into it because they're operations people, right. Or they're supply chain people. And it's like, well, that doesn't necessarily make you great at sales, right. Or being able to close deals necessarily. So I mean, I think it's really interesting that you're focusing kind of in on that target there. I mean, I guess in that vein, I mean, what's kind of one of your top sales tips or conversion tips, if you don't want to give away any secret sauce, but.
Oh wow. No, I would say, you know, working really closely with, you know, with 3PL owners, it's having a really in-depth, like, needs discovery, needs assessment conversation to, like I said, understand the objective, but both the subjective metrics. And please, for anyone that listens to this eventually, please don't just send pricing over email. That's a surefire way to never get a response from any brands. Always do pricing conversations live with someone over the phone or you know, a Zoom call, Meets call, what have you. Yeah, but I think it always comes back to, can't give them pricing without understanding what they're looking to solve, what metrics are they being currently, you know, negatively impacted on, and really what do they give a crap about, you know, when they're working with a 3PL? Because, you know, I didn't invent the same, but this is a marriage, right? Like, I made a witty post the other day where I said on LinkedIn, I said, if you're moving 3PLs every 18 months, I don't think the 3PL is the problem. And I think that goes back to my initial statement. It's like, you don't know what you want, but then that's okay. Right. But you really do need to, like, have a bit of introspection with you and the team and understand, okay, like, this didn't go well with our 3PL. What are all the things that didn't go well? Was it because of the 3PL, or is it because maybe we need to, you know, sharpen our focus in, you know, areas 1, 2, 3? So, you know, there's that, but I'll keep the audience, you know, waiting with a bated breath. I won't give out all my trade secrets just yet.
All right. Well, maybe on the newsletter they'll pop up, so they'll have to subscribe, right? Yeah. I mean,
there you go.
I think it's such a good point, and I did catch that post, and I thought it was really interesting because I mean, it is to a point, right, where, you know, like even someone, a friend from high school, had sent me this newsletter from somebody that was like, they're from the e-commerce side, and they were just like talking about 3PLs and like, you know, they're evil and, you know, they're trying to, like,
I think I know what newsletter that you're talking about.
This yeah. is something that did recently, you see that one? Yeah.
Recently it came. I did, from a very prominent e-commerce man.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
In the natural deodorant space. We'll keep it that. I did see that. That was it was an interesting newsletter, and one that I had put out, I think, just 24 hours prior to see his, it seemed very jaded, but
yeah.
A lot of what he said was not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he definitely had some good points in there. Yeah, but I think it was coming from a little bit of a position of some prior pain, maybe, I think, too, you could say, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. And again, I don't think there's like fault like on anyone's like side. I think people look at a 3PL provider as just something that they can like change in and out, is if it's just like a pair of socks, and it's not. And it's so not. And that's something that I tried to like stress to people, like, this is not something that you want to make a decision on in like a week. Like, could you make a decision on a 3PL provider in a week? Sure, but you'll probably end up in the same crappy position that you were prior. Like, if you're actually serious about finding the right 3PL provider for you, like, honestly, it should be like a minimum, you know. Could it go faster? Are there instances where it goes faster? Of course. Yes. I think for the most part, though, if you're really trying to do it right, take your time. It should take a month.
Yeah.
It really should. Like, and one thing that I will say that brands should be doing more of, go visit the 3PL on site. I don't care if they got one warehouse or multiple, because you'll get to see the leadership people that are running the 3PL. And more importantly, you get to see the people that are, now, the lovely warehouse associates that are running, you'll get to like see the energy, and more importantly, like feel the energy in the building. And you'll quickly, you know, I always say, like, when I went on tours with potential merchants that wanted to come to ShipBob, I almost felt as if we got so much more accomplished in that, you know, 3 to 4 hour, you know, time that we spent together than we did like for the last like 3 months over Zoom calls, because they just like, there was just like this thing that clicked.
Yeah.
You know? And it's only until you like go and visit them where the pieces like are like finally put together. Mm. And so I would encourage brands, again, not a requirement, but I would highly encourage you, if you go and visit your 3PL partner, if they have one site, go visit them, make a day out of it. You know, you potentially are saving yourself, like I said, from a 5 or 6 figure problem. Not only that, but it ends up turning into a business continuity problem. If things go south, and they can go quick. And so if you're trying to stop business continuity issues, make sure that you're picking the right, you know, 3PL provider.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. I mean, I think a site visit can do so much and tell you so much about the company itself and the culture, and, you know, how they just value your product and, you know, the customer's product that they have in the building already and all those different types of things. So really interesting here. And I want to touch too a little bit, because you're focusing in with the Supply Chain and Sidekick a little bit on the freight side as well, which you do have some experience in your background too prior to ShipBob, right? If I remember correctly. And I'm curious, like, where do you think there are wins that can be had when it comes to, you know, putting more focus on freight as a 3PL and also from the brand perspective, which actually I think interesting enough in that newsletter we were talking about, he touched on that a little bit, right? So, I mean, how do you leverage your 3PL to have a better perspective from freight, or should you try and do it yourself as a brand?
Oh, it's a good question. I think that in my experience, You know, ShipHop focused primarily on the SMB and the mid-market. You know, we weren't doing e-com fulfillment for like the Nike, Adidas, you know, Lululemons of the world. We weren't doing, you know, for that large scale of like the enterprise. But what I typically see is like kind of this like this natural progression. Like when you're doing, I don't know, less than a couple thousand orders per month, you're typically doing e-com fulfillment in-house.
Yeah.
Then because your team is like super lean, you'll outsource it for, you know, in that time in which you outsource to a 3PL or many different 3PLs, right? That could be for a couple of years. And then traditionally what ends up happening, kind of just like the life cycle of what supply chain looks like, you know, there's an argument to be made that you should have more of like a variable cost, like in your operating model, right? By in that by outsourcing. But then brands really over the last like year and a half, I saw a lot of brands really bring it back in-house.
Yeah, bring it back. Yeah.
And then they bring it in. And I don't know if there's not like a magic number that they, hey, they bring it in, but it's like once they reach a certain scale, they typically start having those strategic conversations internally. It's like, okay, should we invest in a 100,000 square foot warehouse? You know, should we hire our own staff? Should we get our own WMS, TMS, OMS? Should we get all of that? What does that afford us, right? And what are we, by outsourcing, what are we not, you know, getting, you know? And so I'm making a post about, you know, later on next week about why a 3PL may not be, you know, a fit for, you know, for you in the long term. I think, you know, I think Joe McIntyre also was talking on it. I can't remember if it was today or the other day, but yeah. At some point, brands do bring it in-house.
Yeah.
When that is, that's on. There's something that we talked about a lot at ShipBob is that every brand, it's a case-by-case basis. And that is just so true because there are no two brands that are alike. It's really the God's honest truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's so true. And it's interesting, too, because I think a lot of the couple of the 3PLs I've talked to on the podcast, I mean, they started as brands actually, right? I mean, we know.
Yes.
Yeah. Like Joe Spezak, for example, right? So it's probably the big example there, right? You know, it started with the brand, didn't like 3PL experience and, you know, basically just said like, oh, I don't do this myself, right? And then just grow it from there. Yep. So I mean, I think it's very interesting. And like you said, that case by case basis is certainly something to keep in mind and, you know, really interesting always to talk to you and dig into these topics with you, Aaron, and appreciate you coming on the show. And definitely, you know, kudos to you on the new gig and all the things you're doing out there. And always a pleasure to talk to you and read your posts and all those great things about the world of 3PLs and brand relationships and all the good things and the bad things too that come along with that, right? So if people are interested in checking out the newsletter, finding out more about Supply Chain Sidekick, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, you can follow me on LinkedIn, but I have my own website. It's just my name, aaronhodes.com. You can go there. You can sign up for my newsletter. That's built on Beehive. So you can sign up there. I can also drop you, Kevin, a link to the sign up for the actual newsletter after this. And then if you're a 3PL that is looking for, you know, maybe a little bit of help to close some, you know, qualified deals, I'm your guide. If you're a brand that, you know, needs some help climbing the next best fit, I can maybe help you, but we'll see.
All right, great. And we'll definitely put all that information at thenewwarehouse.com as well so people can easily find it. And I will say I've subscribed to the newsletter and I think it's great so far. You're doing a good job there. So highly recommend it. Definitely a good read. So Aaron, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lotte. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.